Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, welcome to the Astrology Hour on KFOX. I am continuing the interesting discussion today on transits and the long-awaited topic, transit aspects. That's right. We're going to be talking about zones of influence in the natal chart when planets go through the signs and how they pick up aspects in your chart and what this means. So, boy, if you've been listening to the Astrology Hour this week, then you have picked up a lot of information on transits, that's for sure. Definitely a nice series of shows to record, as we did planets through the houses, planets combinations, and now transit aspects. Okay, let's talk about the aspects today. Now, first of all, a lot of people are going to sit out there and go, wait a minute, Farley, wait, hold your horse. What do you mean aspects, you know? Well, an important part of astrology is understanding how the planets interact, how they relate to each other. The planets form various angular relationships to Earth, which we call aspects. Imagine an aspect as the blending of the rays of two planets. Now, the aspects that we're going to talk about today are the five major aspects that are listed in any astroscope or that are listed in any of our transit programs. The sextile, the square, the trine, the opposition, and the conjunction. And frankly, dividing a circle in half would give you an idea of what an opposition would be, because that's when one planet is on one side of the Earth and the other planet would be in the exactly opposite end of the universe, and that would be called an opposition. This is called a 180-degree or half of a circle separation. Now also, the reverse of this opposition is called the conjunction, which means when two planets are exactly in aligned to each other, alignment. And this occurs when two planets are actually in the same degree in a sign in the zodiac, or I would say within 8 degrees. That's a conjunction. If we divide a circle by one-third, this gives us what is called a trine, or a 120-degree aspect, which means one planet in the sky would be one-third of the universe away, from our point of view, from another sign in the sky, which would form a 120-degree angle if you use the Earth as an epicenter. And understanding aspects, frankly, if you understood geometry, then you'll understand a lot easier about the aspects. And I want you to know that it took some sitting down for me when I first got into aspects. It wasn't the type of thing you pick up through osmosis. I had to sit down for a while and really think about this stuff. So if you record this show, you might have to play it a few times for it to sink in. So if you divide by one-third this circle, you get a trine. And a triangle is the strongest straight-sided geometrical shape. And that is why the trine is the most harmonious astrological aspect. Very true. Three planets, each 120 degrees apart within orb, form a grand trine, quote-unquote, configuration. And dividing the trine in half of 120 degrees is 60 degrees, gives us a sextile, which is also a very pleasant effect because it is like a six-sided figure in geometry. If you get six sextiles forming the whole circle, then that also is very pleasant. Now, dividing the opposition in half, dividing the opposition, which is 180 degrees, we talked about that first, in half gives what we call a square, because 90 plus 90 is 180, there's the opposition, plus 90 plus 90 is another 180, so four squares obviously create a square, or a box, in the universe, and that is not too pleasant a configuration. That is not as strong or as harmonious as the triangle with the trines. So that is why squares in astrology are known as karmic or stress aspects, along with oppositions that are karmic and stress aspects, when the two planets in either square to each other or opposition to each other are shown actually an angular differentiation in their orbits that can set their orbits off. So there's like a negative energy involved with opposition and square aspects and a positive energy involved with the trines and the sextals. As far as conjunctions go, it's difficult to say whether it's negative or positive. What happens is the planetary energies are actually combined, depending on what the planets mean, with the signs they are in. Now, when we talk about aspects and transits, I want to make one thing clear right here at the beginning of the show, because aspects can be a complicated subject. That is, that when we talk about aspects, we talk about them three ways. We talk about aspects, actually four ways, but for this topic, let's talk about, okay, all four. The aspects that you are born with. In other words, when you are born with that natal circuit we've been talking about all week, that is called the birth chart, the natal chart, you have your natal aspects, and you have your trines and your squares and your oppositions and your sextals and your conjunctions all listed on your astroscope with a paragraph on each, explaining to you basically what it means to have these particular planets in aspect. Because when we cast an astrology chart, when you send us your date, time, and city of birth, and we actually lay down where the planets were the moment you were born, when we do that, then we are literally able to disseminate how the planets interact to each other during your birth. So we search for aspects. We go ahead and search for these angles of 90, 180, 120, and 60, and 0 degrees, so we can assign you aspects so you can help understand yourself better through astrology. That's how astrology works. Because we try to explain the interaction that exists between the planets to try to understand your uniqueness and this illusion of separation that you have chosen, that your body is charged by. So first there's the natal aspects that stay with you your whole life. If you're born with a sun, square, moon, then that's a natal aspect that's going to stay with you your whole life. And then, if you are actually the next aspects we are concerned with, because we all have two charts, we all have two charts that we want to be totally aware of, in case you didn't know that, and that would be, the one chart would be the birth chart, the natal chart that I was just talking to you about, and the other chart would be the transit chart, are the planets in the sky. See, the planets in the sky are always ours. We never lose them. We always embrace them. And the planets that we were born with is our natal circuit, or our vehicle. But the planets in the sky serve as a clock of the zodiac, or a life clock. And as they move, they create infinite aspects to our natal chart. So the aspects we were born with, the squares, the trines, the sextals, and the oppositions, and the conjunctions, stay with us our whole life. And then the squares, the trines, the sextals, and the oppositions, and the conjunctions that occur from the transiting planets, the moving planets in the sky, right? The mobile, the fluid, the liquid universe. These are aspects that set up experiences in our life. You got that? The aspects from the transiting planets help us disseminate what's going on in our future, in our present, what's possible, what we may get ourselves into as far as relationships, love, money, career, travel, philosophy, rebirth, self-destruction, whatever. Understanding the aspects is the key to understanding astrology. Is that clear? So that's two ways to look at aspects. A third way would be to look at aspects between your chart's planets and the chart's planets of another person. That is called synastry, or relationship comparison, right? You might have a sun square moon in your chart, and you might also have your sun square the moon in your lover's chart. Very intense aspect. That's karmic when you have that, see? So you can aspect everything in astrology to find out what's going on, to find out if it's harmonious with sextals and trines, or to find out if it's karmic with squares and oppositions, or all of the above in case it's conjunctions. Hope this is interesting for you. This is a vital, vital topic in today's astrology hour. The fourth way that we would understand aspects, the natal aspects, the transit aspects, and the compatibility aspects, let's leave it as those three basic ways as far as aspects is concerned, because I don't want to get too intense here. But anyway, let's go over what each and every one of the aspects means, and then we'll talk about some of the potential transit aspects you could have. The sextile is a favorable aspect, and the planets usually being in congenial signs of compatible elements, which usually means that two planets are two signs away from each other. So that's why every other sign in the zodiac, no matter where you start, will be compatible to one sign the next sign two signs away. Like Aries, the signs that are two signs away from Aries, which are Aquarius on one side, because it goes Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries, and then Gemini on the other, is where the sextile zones would be for Aries. Gemini on one side, and Aquarius on the other. So the two air signs on either side of Aries actually fuel the fire of Aries. See how it works? We take another fire sign, Leo, right? And we get Gemini on one side, which is two signs away from Leo, because Cancer and Virgo are right next to Leo, and then Gemini and Libra are two signs away. So Gemini and Libra are another two air signs that fuel the fire of Leo. See how it works? We take an earth sign like Capricorn, and we get Pisces on one side, and we get Scorpio on the other, sextiling Capricorn. So the water fuels the earth of Capricorn, Scorpio and Pisces. See how it works? So two energies sextile each sign, and sextiles can be a lot of fun. They also offer tremendous potential in your life. When you have a lot of sextiles in your natal chart, if you are going through a sextile transit, you are being given something. You're being offered a great potential, and I also call sextiles opportunity. This aspect can allow the influences of the planets to work in harmony. However, the sextile only brings opportunity. These opportunities must be acted upon to be of use. So people with natal sextiles and trines, or transit sextiles and trines, can be very lazy because they're given so much that they abuse it and they don't make full use of it. That's why people with squares and oppositions become more successful, sometimes more spiritual in the long run, because they use their aspects. Isn't this fun? I hope it's not too confusing. The square, 90 degrees, is traditionally regarded as an unfavorable aspect. However, because I believe that there is nothing unfavorable in astrology, I want you to know that the best thing to do is to embrace your squares, love them, because you are being given deliverance and instruction as far as what you must learn in this life, what you would be obsessed with, and what you would be asked to let go of that would be a bad habit of some kind that would be more of a self-imposed destruction. The square represents the struggle of two forces at cross purposes. The square brings stress and denotes obstacles to inspire growth through concentrated effort. So obviously, if you go three signs away from any one sign in the zodiac, let's say if we take a sign like Libra, and you go three signs on one side, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Capricorn squares Libra. We go on the other side, Cancer would be the other Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, is Cancer is three signs away. So Cancer and Libra square each other either way, and Libra and Capricorn square each other either way. So, and we do find these elements to be similar elements because they're in the same families often, meaning they basically have similar natures, but they're still alien to each other. So if you have natal aspects and square, then that's a war within yourself. If you're dealing with a transit aspect in a square, like let's say, Saturn in the sky is square your Mars right now. If you have Mars in Libra like I do and Saturn in Capricorn, then you might be going through an inward struggle with yourself or a fear or some kind of problem that you're facing up to concerning your self-esteem, your self-love, your health, your ambition, and your balance from the Libra-Capricorn stress. And that's how we analyze a transit aspect. See how it works? Very important. The trine, which is 120 degrees, is my favorite, is the most harmonious aspect, because like I say, three trines do equal the strongest geometrical shape, which is the triangle, and it joins planets in congenial signs, typically of the same element. These energies combine with ease. The drawback is lack of challenge and getting benefits without effort. So we find a lot of people with lots of trines usually make the cattle calls easier, right, in acting, usually receive more money from family and parents, don't have to work that hard in their life, the contest winners and the lotto winners oftentimes. And we also find that we earn trines from past lives by doing good deeds. So we should not actually abuse our power in this life from the deeds we've done in past lives. I only have 4 trines to my Jupiter, so I embrace every one of them. Now also, we do find that the elements, fire, earth, air, and water, and if you want to really learn this topic, you should learn your elements. So Aries, Leo, and Sag are the fire. Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus are the earth. Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini are the air, and Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer are the water. And notice each element forms grand trines. The grand fire trine of Leo, Aries, and Sag, the grand earth trine of Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus, the grand air trine of Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra, and the water trine, grand trine of Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer. See, so they all form, that's how we find trines, by looking for friendly elements. I have 4 Leo planets and 1 Sag planet. They're all within 120 degrees of each other. Not all Leo and Sag trine each other. It's got to be a similar number. Like my Sun is 18 Leo, my Jupiter's 19 Sag. That's 121 degrees away. So that's almost an exact trine. That's a strong trine. And also, it's interesting to note that when we talk about aspects, we also talk about orbs. Meaning that when we talk about orbs, that there's a little aura on each side of the aspect. Like sextiles are 60 degrees, but it doesn't have to be 60 degrees exact. It can be like 55 to 65. That's the orb. And squares can be from 82 to 98 in natal squares. For transit squares, it's reduced much, from 86 degrees to 94 degrees for transit squares. Actually, it's a lot different. It's 4 approach and 2 passing for transits. So for transit squares, it would be from 86 up to 92. And the trines are the same way. Transit trines would be from 116 to 122. Then natal trines would be from 112 to 128 degrees. See how it works? The opposition has an orb too. Exact oppositions are 180 degrees in natal or transits, but the orb would be 172 to 188 to pick up any opposition. That's right, any planet from 172 degrees all the way to 188 degrees away from another planet would be in opposition, although it would be called wide. And also, we do have the transit orb, and the opposition is 176 to 182. Aren't you glad you're recording this so you have this all down? The opposition is when planets are exactly opposite each other in the universe, causing stress and awareness. This polarity, though tense, does not have to be too discordant, as these opposites sometimes can be complementary. However, when transit or natal oppositions are bad, it is when we create the wrong people in our lives as catalysts for growth, people that would continue to hurt us, injure us, or cause us pain. And if you don't understand the exact message an opposition is sending you, oftentimes it is asking you to process or get rid of negative elements of people in your life or situations that are holding you down, causing pain, or preventing your growth. And then finally, the other of the 5 major aspects, the conjunction. When 2 planets are in the same degree, like if you have a planet at 17 Scorpio, and you have a planet within 8 degrees of 17 Scorpio, from 9 all the way up to 25 degrees of Scorpio, would be a conjunction in a natal chart. Transit conjunctions occur 4 approaching and 2 passing. So for 17 Scorpio, a planet in the sky would be conjunct that 17 Scorpio if it was from 13 Scorpio up to 19 Scorpio. After it goes beyond 2 degrees, it's out of aspect. That means it doesn't affect it anymore. The conjunction is when 2 planets are in the same degree and gives strength, great strength, to the energies of the interacting planets. This aspect can be either harmonious or discordant, depending on, number one, the nature of the planets involved, and number two, how this conjunction is being aspected by the rest of the natal chart and the rest of the transit chart. Conjunctions with Mars or Saturn, and sometimes Uranus or Neptune, that's me, I have conjunctions to Mars, Uranus, and Neptune, can be the most difficult, especially conjunctions between these planets when they're together, like Mars and Neptune, like I have, or Mars and Uranus, which is real tough for women. And also, more can be determined about the nature of a particular conjunction by comparing the nature of the sign in which it occurs to the natures of the planets involved. Once again, astrology is science of combinations. A planet strongly compatible to the sign of conjunction can dominate the energies of the other planet. Now, understand one thing, that a transit only lasts, a transit aspect only lasts as long as it's in effect, from 4 degrees approaching till 2 passing. So that is why I'm watching closely this Pluto transit at 14 Scorpio right now. It's exactly square my Pluto at 14 Leo, and it's square my Sun Mercury at 18 Leo for approaching. See, I'm waiting for Pluto to get to 27 Scorpio, so it'll finally finish squaring all my Leo planets in the 10th and 11th house, because frankly, the career stress would be there, 10th house stress, right? When I'm looking at Pluto in the sky, in Scorpio, on my moon, conjuncted, and squaring my 4 Leo planets for the next 3 years. See, so that's a recognizable transit aspect that's critical to my personal growth, my personal life lessons. And if you wanted to know how we would read that, we always mention the transiting planet first, and then the aspect, and then the natal planet last. So right now I have Pluto, transiting Pluto, conjunction my moon in Scorpio. I also have transiting Pluto, square my Pluto in Leo. Transiting Pluto, I also have that square my Sun in Leo. And I also have transiting Pluto, square my Mercury in Leo. And in about a year, when Pluto gets to 21 Scorpio, I'll have transiting Pluto, square my 25 Saturn in Leo. So that's how it works. The transiting planet is always said first, then the aspect, what it is, and then the second planet, which is in the natal chart, in your chart. And then by knowing what the planet means and what the aspect means, right, and what houses the transiting planet and the natal planet are in, you can start to understand how your life works. The advanced transits are so incredible that I've been blown away, frankly, by it. Sometimes I feel I don't have to make any more choices. I just look in my transits and go, well, there it is. There's exactly what's going on today, so what's the use? Might as well just go with the flow and not worry about it, right? I'm having Venus in my fifth house coming up, and this is a great, listen to this transit. It lasts from March the 1st through about the 30th. Loved ones and social life are gratifying now. Pleasure, leisure, and artistic interests are emphasized. Fun, games, and romance a focus. Now, this is the type of stuff you want to know about, right? And then Mercury entered my fourth house, right? Mental activity and communication have a lot to do with the home, business, taxes, and family at this time. Words written are spoken or important. I did a lecture at St. Anthony's School right when I had that transit to a bunch of children concerning reading. Didn't even know I had that transit. Sun entered my sixth house. Work and health are major interests now. Practicality, services performed are needed. These require attention and dedication, and I have really been focusing on my health this month because of that transit. Then I'm having a Venus trine midheaven. Business mixes well with pleasure. Gains in career and status are possible. Opportunities for financial advantage exist. And guess what? I'm doing a public appearance tonight. So isn't that funny? I didn't even know I had it.
That's another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Hope you liked it. See you real soon, weekdays in the Fox at 12 noon. Bye-bye.